Welcome to Smashing the Plateau. We help you get unstuck so you can do what you love and get paid what you're worth, consistently. I'm your host, David Schreiner-Kahn.
They don't want the cheap option, they want the best option.
Today on episode 450 of Smashing the Plateau, I'm here with Nadia Feiner of Little Voice Big Business. I'm going to ask Nadia how to be the best option and set your prices accordingly, and much more. Find out more about Nadia, along with all of our previous episodes, at smashingtheplateau.com. Would you like more consistent, stable revenue in your business? Check out smashingtheplateau.com/bestnetwork to learn how we help entrepreneurs like you. Now let's welcome Nadia Feiner. Nadia is an international speaker, business coach, and author of Little Me, Big Business. Nadia knows what it's like to keep yourself small. Sounding like a little kid made that very tempting indeed, but rather than hide away, she's kicked fear in the face and turned her little voice into her secret weapon. Now she helps Lone Rangers all over the world to scale up so they can make more money, create a bigger future, help more people, and have a bigger impact on the world. Nadia, welcome to the show.
Hey, thank you for having me. It's a pleasure to be here.
So, Nadia, what made you become a business coach?
Well, I'd done work previously in corporate as a consultant. I'd worked in marketing, and my final corporate job was helping big companies have ideas. So it was definitely one of the things that I kind of came naturally to me. It was my profession. But then I decided to focus more on people who are small, people who are little, who struggle to have the impact that they desire through their work. Because as you can tell, and as you heard, I sound really young, I sound really little, and it's always held me back professionally and personally a little bit. And I felt really strongly that I wanted to help people like me who struggled to go big, to have the impact that they wanted. I wanted to help them overcome their fears and to create businesses that make lots of money and help lots of people. And so I went into business coaching about 5 years ago now, and I haven't looked back. I love this kind of work, and it doesn't really feel like work to me. It's fun, so I love doing it, and I really kind of enjoy being around my clients and helping them and seeing the changes that they make in their lives. It's really fun.
Yeah, I think you've touched on something really fundamental, which is fear definitely is a major element that holds people back in business and in life. And I'd love to hear a little bit about your story and how you overcame your fear.
Yeah, so, I'll just give you a little kind of rundown of how it kind of started, and then I'll tell you how it all kicked off. I was just a normal kid. I didn't have any idea that there was something different about me until I was about 15, and I was in a French lesson. I had headphones on, and I was speaking into the mic, and I had to record myself speaking. And in those days, you know, we didn't have social media or a phone, like mobile phones or anything, so you didn't really record yourself ever. So this seemed like a real random, exciting thing to do. I hit record and spoke about a film I'd seen, and then I hit play and had to listen to it back. And when I heard the recording, the voice speaking, I couldn't quite believe what I was hearing. I thought there was a kid speaking, but somehow she was saying what I'd just said. And it took a moment for me to connect the two and to realise that that was actually me. And so in that moment, like, everything shrunk down, and I just suddenly felt this sense of fear and embarrassment and shame. And I thought, my goodness, I sound so weird. I sound like a kid. No one's ever going to take me seriously ever again. So I decided from then on that I would hide and that I would not be seen. I wouldn't phone people that I didn't know. I wouldn't speak out or speak on the stage or anything like that. So through school, it kind of, you know, it held me back, but it was okay. But professionally, things got challenging. And, you know, I was always being told to raise my profile. I avoided, you know, being in any situation where I had to speak to somebody that I didn't know. And then as an entrepreneur, you know, we're told to, we need to be visible. We need to put ourselves out there. We need to be seen. But if you're afraid and if you have doubts and insecurities and you feel really uncomfortable about some, you know, something about yourself, it's really difficult. And eventually I was running a PR service and I brought somebody in to help me because, you know, I like to hide, right? So the best way of hiding is to bring someone in who's loud and to hide behind them. So that's what I did. And so I was hiding behind my business partner and eventually we had a big showdown, a big row, and she accused me of playing small and she said that I was holding the business back and that, you know, I needed to basically get a grip. And in that moment, I decided I wasn't going to stand for it anymore. And we fell out. I said, you can expect to hear from my lawyer. And I didn't have a lawyer. So I went and got one. And we had this huge battle that went on for ages. And that was when I decided enough's enough. I can't continue my life hiding from something about myself. You know, I can't go through life being in the shadows, hiding away from people, from experiences, from my potential and all the things I'm good at doing. And that was when I decided that I was going to go it alone, become a solopreneur, not work with a business partner again, and rather than creating a brand to hide behind or hiding behind a business partner or anything else, I was going to be me in my business and face up to my fear. So it took an extreme situation for me to make that decision. But then, you know, I realised that the thing I was hiding from was my voice. And rather than be embarrassed about it, what would happen if I brought it front and center? So I created a personal brand. My website is my name and my business is called Little Voice Big Business. So rather than it being something to be ashamed of or be afraid of, I now, you know, it is difficult. Like, I'm still shy and I get nervous and embarrassed. And people still make comments all the time telling me that I should do voiceovers for cartoons. People phone my house and ask to speak to my mum most weeks. But I just kind of embrace it now and I try to push past those fears. Because I know that a lot of people feel the same. They have fears too and things about themselves which they find embarrassing or uncomfortable or awkward. And when I talk about my stuff, I think it helps people because they get it. They also have things about themselves that they want to hide away from too.
We certainly all have fears and you're spot on, Nadia, that these fears can definitely hold us back. And having the courage to actually take that first step is probably the hardest thing to do.
Yeah, it really is. I mean, that was a crazy time because I looked at business coaches around me and I knew that I had expertise and I'd been doing business strategy for years and I knew I was good at what I did. But when you start comparing yourself to others and looking at what the way they present themselves you start to question your own abilities and you wonder, you know, should I be more like them? Should I, you know, dress like them, look like them, sound like them, use their words even? It's very tempting. I see a lot of people who get that sense of comparisonitis, and it makes you get stuck in fear, and it makes you make bad decisions about the direction of your business. But for me, when I embraced the thing that makes me unique, when I stepped into that fear, that was when things got really interesting in a good way.
Yeah. So walk us through actually sort of how your business has evolved since you made that decision and took that first courageous step to just own who you are and be yourself.
Yeah, so since I did that, I've been able to attract my kinds of clients, people who get me. They listen to me speak. What I say resonates with them. So what I've found is that the people who come to me, who book in for discovery calls with me, they are like 9 times out of 10, if not 10 times out of 10, they're great. You know, I love them. They're so nice. They're the kind of people I would be friends with. And I think that that's not a coincidence. I think you attract your kind of people when you are truly yourself. It's also really enabled me to stop looking at what everybody else is doing. Now I just focus on my business, my message, and I do things the way I want to do them, because it's not really relevant what everybody else is doing. So I no longer get that kind of sense of comparisonitis anymore. And also, I think it's really helped me realize, and also this is something that I help my clients with, that when you're unique and you're you, your price becomes less important. You're not competing on price. You're not in some kind of competition to be the cheapest anymore. It's irrelevant, because your people, the ones who get you, who like you, they want to work with you for you. And the price is secondary or even less important than that. It's not the thing you lead with. So I think that's really had an impact through being myself. And finally, I think it's enabled me to be able to say what I want to say in the way I say it, in the way I want to say it. You know, I don't have to check myself so much. Words flow more freely, and it's much more relaxing because you can, you know, say your opinions, speak your truth, and use your own spin on things. And it makes business a lot more fun when you are yourself. So yeah, I love that about my brand, and I know that no one can copy me, because it would just seem really weird. Nobody's gonna copy me. They'd sound really strange if they did. And so I know that you know, it's kind of my magic strength, this little voice of mine. You know, I have a podcast as well. And, you know, I get to speak in my little voice to my people about these kinds of things. And it's become a kind of a special thing, really, rather than it being something to hide.
Nadia, who are your ideal clients?
My ideal clients tend to be often women, for some reason, but entrepreneurs, solopreneurs who feel little, who feel like they want to go bigger in their business, but they're stuck, maybe because they have fears or doubts or insecurities, and they want to overcome those so that they can scale up and make more money and help more people.
If you want to rise above the noise, doing what you love and getting paid what you're worth consistently, check out smashingtheplateau.com/best network and learn how we help entrepreneurs like you. Mention Smashing the Plateau and receive 1 month free membership in Best Network. Nadia, what have you done in your own business to create consistent, stable revenue?
Ah, I love talking about this. I'm obsessed with scale. My whole book is about scale. I soon discovered as a coach that it would be very easy to sell kind of one-off sessions. You know, in fact, I have a funny story about how I went into meet a client early on in my business, and I charged her $100 for the session, and it was a one-off session. We met up locally in a cafe, and I bought coffee and lunch because it was lunchtime. And then after the session, she said how amazing it had been and that she'd be in touch. And she literally wandered off into the distance. And I was left standing there thinking, I need to invoice her because I hadn't done it yet. And it was a one-off session and I'd made $100. And then I was feeling like a winner. So I went to the shops and spent all the money and wandered home. And when I got home, I realized that I wasn't a winner at all because I didn't know when she was coming back and I wasn't charging enough. I'd spent all the money already. And, it was just a kind of real amateur approach to being a coach. And it was not how I would advise my clients to run their businesses at all. So I made some changes to my own business because I figured that it's time to do what you're preaching rather than running a shambles for a business. So what did I do? I created packages for my services. I priced them according to the outcome that I'm delivering for people rather than basing it on the amount of time I spend with them. I also launched my academy, the Profit Pack. Now, my Profit Pack enables me to have recurring, consistent revenue from my clients over a period of a year. A lot of them stay on after the year's finished as well, actually. And it's really changed the way I run my business and also the way I feel about my business because I know that every month I have consistent money coming in to pay all my bills and pay myself. And I'm no longer at the mercy of the kind of peaks and troughs of the early days when I wasn't really sure where the next client was coming from. So yeah, the Profit Pack and the Academy model that I use has been really, really important to me and has enabled me to create these consistent revenue months. And it's something that I help a lot of my clients to do as well. People who are selling their time, who are maybe, they can't predict how much is coming in each month and they feel like they should be making more money. So I definitely am a big fan of that model, and it's something I can talk about all day, but I probably shouldn't.
Well, I want to talk about one other thing that you mentioned about pricing.
Yeah.
Because what I've seen is many people, particularly those who may think very small about themselves, will underprice their services. So you kind of touched on it in your anecdote about that coaching client that you took to lunch. What advice do you have about how to figure out what the appropriate price is based on the outcome?
Yes. Well, I love pricing. It's such a fascinating topic because I think for a lot of us, we price our services based on how we feel about ourselves. And that's the first mistake that we make. And I've done it. I'll hold my hands up and say I've done this so many times. It's something I really struggled with. I think for a lot of us, we want to be liked. We want people to say yes. And so we start pricing ourselves low because we feel that if we do, we're more likely to get a yes. And we're more likely to have someone like us. And if you combine that with the fact that we maybe doubt ourselves a little bit, perhaps you feel like you're not as good as other people, you haven't been doing this very long, It can be all kinds of things. For me, it was about my, my confidence and my little voice and feeling doubts around visibility. It could be that maybe you worry that your setup isn't as polished as other people's. It can be anything. And that all rolled together impacts on the number, on the price that you put on your services. And yet, I think it's really super important for us to realize that pricing isn't about us. It's about our clients, and it's about the change that we're creating for our people and what that's worth to them. So when you start going in cheap and you position yourself as being a bargain, often it's completely subconscious. We don't even know we're doing it. But when I look with fresh eyes at perhaps people's copy on their websites, they often really surprised that I immediately pull out all this messaging about being a bargain and being super cheap and affordable and things like that, which doesn't necessarily correlate with their branding and how they want to be perceived. If you go in cheap, people sometimes don't take you seriously. They perhaps don't choose you over others because they don't want the cheap option. They want the best option. So pricing is really, really interesting. And I think it's important for us to stop seeing it as a reflection of our own self, and to focus instead on the client and the things that we're achieving for them. And it's not about what you're giving them. It's not about maybe the number of hours you're going to spend with them, or the number of pages in a workbook, or the size of the pot of cream that you're selling them for their wrinkles. It's nothing to do with those things. It's about the results that they get. So personally, I'd rather use a pot of cream that was smaller, that got rid of my wrinkles quicker, than, being sold something on the basis of how big the jar is. I would rather spend less time with somebody and get the result because I know it's going to change my life than have them tell me how many minutes I'm going to need to spend with them and the number of videos I need to watch, example. We get so caught up in the stuff, and we forget about the results that we're selling for somebody.
Right, which sounds to me like one of the things you need to ask yourself as part of this pricing strategy is, what is the quantifiable transformation that the client wants? And if I believe I can produce that and help the client achieve it, then what is this offering worth in relation to the result that we're planning to produce?
Yeah, precisely.
Yeah, that's great. Nadia, whom do you know personally who has done a really remarkable job of smashing the plateau?
I really admire a client of mine called Jane Pike. She's actually a coach who works with horse riders on their mindset. And when I first met Jane, she was, she was doing good, but she was playing kind of small and she was exhausted. And what she needed was a way to scale up and help more people. And she has this amazing personality where she has crazy hair and she's kind of kooky, I would say. And I really, really love Jane. She's a fun person. But she was kind of dialing it down because she felt like people in the horse riding world didn't want someone who was like that. They wanted someone sensible. And through our work together, what we did was we brought more Jane to her work. And as soon as we did that, things went nuts. She's featured in the press. She's all over video. She has loads and loads of followers on social media. She's huge. And all because she's being herself. And people really love that about her. But also what we did was we created a kind of membership for horse riders called Joyride. And Joyride has gone from we launched it to a small audience. It quickly grew to like 50, then 100 people. And now there are hundreds of people in Joyride. She's helping so many people all over the world to get more confident on their horse and get better results. And it's just been really impressive seeing the way that she's gone, you know, stratospheric with her message. And now she's able to travel because she's not selling time. So she's always doing these like international horse riding competition things. And it's just been a real pleasure to see her blossom in that way. And I love the fact that she's being herself doing it rather than trying to be all kind of straight-laced and uptight like she thought she had to be. And it's she's having fun with it. And I think that really rubs off on her clients, and I think it makes running the business a lot more pleasurable for her and everyone around her.
What a great example. Thank you for sharing her story.
Oh, that's okay. I mean, she's a great, you should definitely look her up, especially if you like horse riding.
Nadia, what's coming up for you in the near future? What do we have to look forward to?
Well, at the moment, I've literally just launched my book, so I'm planning a lot more speaking gigs over the coming months. This past few weeks, I've been to America and Canada and a lot in London, so I've got plans to do a lot more speaking. And it's so funny because, you know, I would never have thought that I would do this in a million years. I literally avoided anything involving speaking for all those years, and now I travel all around the world speaking to hundreds of people, which seems kind of crazy. And you know, I still get really nervous, but I just try and focus on the fact that there's hopefully a few people in the audience who need to hear my message and that for whom it's going to change their lives. And I think that's an amazing thing to be able to do through business.
Yeah, so speaking of people wanted to hear your message. Is there a free gift that you'd like to offer our audience?
Yes. So if you head over to my website, to nadiafeiner.com, you can download my strategy 6-pack. It's a workbook detailing 6 things you can implement in your business right now. They're very simple strategies which anybody can use, which are going to help you make more money and scale up. So yeah, you head over to my website and you can download that for free and get started on implementing some of the things we've discussed and a few other things too, to help you help more people and go bigger in your business.
And Nadia, if somebody wants to go deeper with what you've shared today, to learn more or access any other resources you have, where would they go?
If you head over to my website, it's all on there. You can book in for a call and chat with me, read more about my services. There's videos and lots of useful things to watch and listen to. And yeah, just let me know what you need and ping me a message and I'll get back to you and we'll see what we can do to help.
Sounds great. Well, Nadia, thank you so much for taking the time to join us today on Smashing the Plateau. My guest has been business coach Nadia Feiner. Thank you again, Nadia, for joining us.
Thank you for having me. Bye.
When you visit the Smashing the Plateau website at smashingtheplateau.com, you'll find a summary of each episode along with the links we mention on the show. Today, we discussed how to price your services based on the outcome you help your clients achieve, and how Nadia has built consistent, stable, recurring revenue in her own business. Would you like more consistent, stable revenue in your business? Check out smashingtheplateau.com/bestnetwork to learn how we help entrepreneurs like you, or click Get in Touch on our website to speak directly with me. Please share this episode with friends and colleagues to help them smash the plateau. Thank you for taking the time to listen to our show. I'll see you on our next episode.